Psychedelic mushrooms were federally banned back in the 70s, but a growing movement wants to access them, mostly for medicinal use. In Denver, Esther Honig of Harvest Public Media reports that mushroom enthusiasts want the freedom to take them without fear of criminal prosecution.
Euphoria, hallucinations, seeing God are all side effects of psilocybin mushrooms, which people consume sometimes in a tea, as a chocolate, or in tiny doses, also called microdosing. And these mushrooms grow all over the world.
These right here, I picked like 3 days ago.
They can even grow in this storage closet in a Denver apartment. Douglas, who didn't want to use his full name for fear of federal prosecution, holds a handful of mushrooms that he cultivates and sells illegally.
Mushrooms are really easygoing, especially psilocybin. You know, they kind of just grow themselves, and like, this is a relatively quiet thing to do.
With his DIY setup of glass jars, large plastic bins, and a pressure cooker, Douglas can grow up to $1,000 of mushrooms per month. He learned how on the internet and bought his first mushroom spores from an online seller, which is legal in all but two U.S. states.
If you just want to start small, investment super low, you could throw $80 at it and have like an ounce to yourself.
But doing so could land you in prison, which is why a ballot measure in Denver's Tuesday election asks voters to decriminalize mushrooms. Adults 21 or older caught using or even growing the fungi for themselves would become a low priority for local police. It'd still be illegal to sell them, but Douglas says it'll be good for business.
With decriminalization and stuff, I can operate a little bit more freely, have to worry less.
And it's not just Denver. A Republican lawmaker in Iowa recently proposed removing psilocybin from the state's list of controlled substances. And in Oregon, a campaign hopes to legalize it for medical use in approved clinics.
This isn't the stuff that states have any infrastructure to deal with.
Matthew Johnson has spent the last 15 years researching psychedelics at Johns Hopkins University. He says research shows this drug is not addictive and could be used to treat a whole host of ailments, like depression. But he doesn't support increasing access in the same way some states have loosened up laws around cannabis.
There are substantial risks involved with this therapy, and it needs to be done by appropriately trained and credentialed medical and psychological professionals.
Under the influence of psilocybin, people can panic and put themselves in danger. There have been fatalities. In as little as 5 years, Johnson believes research on psilocybin will lead to the first FDA-approved medication, at which point the federal government will have to stop treating it like a dangerous drug. But until then,
any controlled substance is a concern. It's obviously on a Schedule 1 for a reason.
Deanne Reuter is with the DA office in Denver and says they'll continue prosecuting psilocybin cases, even though they don't see that many.
The trafficking of psilocybin seems to be like a small niche kind of community.
If the ballot measure passes, Reuter expects dealers like Douglas will exploit the decriminalization, and what is now a small market could grow. For NPR News, I'm Esther Honig.